Okay. And Nikki spoke to us the other day about Ezekiel and described how he spoke the word that the Lord had given him, and then he demonstrated it practically by acts in his life. And this morning, I want to reverse that process. There's an old Scottish saying that it's better felt than telt. And I just would like those who feel to, just to go and sit with another brother or sister this morning. Just come alongside them and sit with them. I'll explain why, but don't all move at once. Because it's better felt than telt, I believe. You know, many years ago, I spoke about Christians having backbone, and Murray often reminded me that I took a sheet of paper and I folded it, and then when I folded it, I could stand a glass of water on it. But without the mountain tops and the valleys, then I didn't have any backbone. So it was a demonstration this morning, you know. As we come this morning, you know, I just want to ask, we've just spent a precious time loving the Lord Jesus and worshipping him. But as you come, you know, are we honest this morning? Are you feeling anxious? Are you feeling stressed? Are you feeling fearful about your life, your health, or your family? Or all the events and opinions that we constantly hear on the news to the point that you want to turn it off? You know, the wars and rumours of wars. There's famine. There's drought. There's earthquake. There's flood. There's violence. There's rampant inflation. The cost of living and the cost of fuel. And this growing sort of blame culture. That someone's to blame. Someone's got to be to blame. You know, I could go on. But Paul says in Romans 8:38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. God loves us. God loves us, and he's working out his purposes in this world in which we live. And we're his own. I never get my mind around this. We're his own chosen special possession. He created us and he died to save us. Amen. You know, I don't want to rush this morning. I just want to think about that. We've broken bread. We've remembered what Jesus did for us. He died. He rose victorious. You know, just think about that. It's one thing somebody dying, but to rise victorious. That we can come in the sure knowledge that we have a place reserved for you and me in heavenly places. We will rise with him. You know, that's the introduction over, brothers and sisters. But what I want to speak about this morning is the God who draws near. The God who draws near, who comes alongside. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is here. His presence is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Jehovah is here. Do you believe that? Today, right now, right at this very moment, God is here. He comes alongside of us to comfort, to encourage, to strengthen, to instruct, to love, to bless. You know, to be all that we stand in need of this morning. Do you believe that? God who comes alongside of us is for us and not against us. the God who comes alongside of us to show us his ways. You know, he comes to bless. He comes to provide all that we stand in need of this morning, right now, whether we're here in person or whether we're on Zoom. God's mercy knows no bounds. And he says, Jesus says, I know my sheep by name, and my sheep know my voice. And when I call them, they follow after me. But Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, we are a privileged people. We are an incredibly privileged people, that the God who created this universe in which we live, who created us and knows everything about us, is never going to leave us. Never going to leave us or forsake us. You know? Mary said when she was told she was going to give birth to the Lord Jesus, she said, how can this thing be? You know, we might say the same. What does it mean when we say that Jesus comes alongside of us right now? You know, just as you've come alongside one another this morning, the sense of somebody coming, you know, whatever our feelings are, whatever our hopes, our thoughts are, Jehovah Shammah comes alongside of us. You know, we sang this morning, you're the glory and the lifter of my head. For thou, O Lord, art a shield to me. For there is one greater, my shield and my defender. He will stand beside me till that day. You know, there are many hymns and choruses that describe that concept of God coming alongside of us. You know, I'll give you a few. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there none other is ever known. My joy, my Jesus. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on his way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. And he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me, he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You know, I learnt some of those in Sunday school. He lives. We don't become before a God of wood or stone. We come before the living God. The living God who loves us. You know, but it's one thing singing about it. It's another thing entirely knowing the reality of it right now, right here in our lives. And I want us to just consider some examples of Scripture. Ezekiel 48:35, Ezekiel the prophet describes how God told him in vision about the coming restoration of the land, the city of Jerusalem and the temple. It included detailed plans and measurements of the restored city. And the final word in Ezekiel's book are these, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is here, Jehovah Shammah. God revealed to Ezekiel that the name of the new Jerusalem will be, the Lord is here. The Spirit of God dwells in us through Christ in the same way. In 1 Corinthians 3 it says, Jehovah Shammah, meaning God is here. Its meaning is that the presence of God is going to be in his temple, in us, his temple. We are temples of the Holy Ghost. And God is here. His presence is with us. Amen. You know, we're told that, as we sang and I came to the garden alone, we're told that Adam walked with God in the garden. We're told that Noah walked with God. And Abraham at 91, God said, walk before me and be blameless. And later on, when he sent his servant to find a bride for Isaac, his servant referred to Abraham as the Lord before whom I walk. What a testimony. What a testimony. You know, we were challenged about, do we have a testimony? Is our testimony, he is the Lord before whom I walk? You know, Enoch walked with God. He says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Wow. He didn't know death. God took him. But it says in Hebrews 11, in verse 5, in the chapter of faith, by faith Enoch was taken away, so he didn't see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Our God. Our God. Rewarder. He rewards us with peace. He rewards us with hope. He rewards us with joy. He rewards us with sins forgiven. He rewards us with a place for those who stand near. Wow. 2 Corinthians 6 says, we're told to be careful who we walk with. What agreement is the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. Who do we walk with? Who are we friends with? Who do we spend time with? We read in Acts 8:26, we read the story of Philip. And it's no good when they don't stick. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jericho to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus. And when they came down to the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. A man who came alongside. Who is this man who's told me everything about me? Who's this man who came at the exact right moment? Jesus knows what we stand in need of. He comes to us right at the moment we need him. Just as in Luke 24:13, which is the story of the two on the road to Emmaus, and they were talking about all the events that had taken place in Jerusalem. And Jesus drew near and walked with them. And as he walked with them, he unfolded the scripture to them. And then he wanted to go on, but they urged him to stay, and he broke bread. And as they broke bread, their eyes were open to the person who was walking with them. Jesus came alongside. In their confusion, in their distress, Jesus came and said, "Look, this is what the scripture says. Today, I am with you." Now, how does this apply to us right now? You know, we read in Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come unto me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus coming alongside and being yoked to us. You know, if we were a pair of oxen, they had to work together to plough the field. And there's a path for us that the Lord has marked out for us. And he said, come to me. Just learn of me, and I will show you all things. I will show you the path that I want you to take. And it's such an intimate relationship. Just me and the Lord Jesus. You didn't have three oxen and a yoke. You only had two. It was just one ox and another. One sinner and one redeemer. One Lord and Master and one servant. He wants that closeness with us today. He wants to just to come alongside us, for us to know that he's alongside of us. You know, I was thinking, when things go wrong at home, what do? We try and fix it, or we phone a friend. You know, when Jesus said, "I'm here, my presence is with you, what is it you stand in need of today?" Psalm 23:6, "When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil, for I am with you. My rod and thy staff, they comfort you." I'm with you. In the lowest part of our life, in the hardest parts of our life, I'm with you. It says in Isaiah 43:2, "When you walk through the waters, I will be with you, and through the fire, I will be with you. And they will not overwhelm you." You know, when we get difficult situations, we think they're just overwhelming. But the Word of God says, "I will be with you, and they will not overwhelm you." In Matthew 14:25, you remember the story of after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus sent his disciples across the lake whilst he went up to the mountain to pray. And as they were halfway across the lake, the wind came up and the waves, and they were scared. They were frightened. And it says that in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus drew near to them. And the fourth watch of the night is the darkest part of the night, just before the dawn. And it's the hour that Jesus came alongside of them. You know, what a precious prospect that is. When all looks lost, when all hope's gone, Jesus came walking on the water. Psalm 139 verse 7 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost parts of the sea, even there you are, and your right hand will hold me." There's no escaping the presence of an omnipresent God. But, you know, kind of logic would say, well, why would we? We've been found by a mighty God The one who loves us, the one who died for us. Why would we want to flee? But we do. I don't know what it is in our nature. We've been cleansed, we've been redeemed, and yet we still think we can walk on our own. But Jesus comes alongside each one of us, as he's doing right now. You sense the presence of Jesus. You sense the presence of Jesus when we were worshipping him. The Spirit was moving. He never leaves us as his chosen ones. When we forget or draw away from his nearness, when we say, "Where are you, God?" In every situation or circumstance, when we feel alone or deserted or bereft, Jesus comes. He causes events to come across our path to draw us back to himself. You know, how long will we resist the calling of the Lord, the whispering in our ear, the touch on our side, the drawing of us to himself? You know, we always want the best outcome in all situations, don't we? You know, we want the best in people's exams. We want the best in everything. But you know, that might not be God's best for us. The Scripture says, you know, his ways aren't our ways; they're higher. Because if we're willing, God is working out his plans and purposes for us. And ultimately, he wants us, through all of the circumstances and situations that he brings us through, to become holy, to love him more, to be able to walk with him more closely. Just as you've come alongside a brother or sister this morning, there's something about somebody coming alongside. There's something about going to pray with a brother or sister, encouraging a brother and sister, phoning a brother and sister. Say, "I've had you on my heart today. I just want to just come close with you and commune with you and bless you, encourage you." And what causes that is the fact that Jesus is doing the same to us every minute of every day. He comes alongside us. He's the glory and the lifter of our heads. And in his presence is fullness of joy. You know? And we sing that. There'll be singing, there'll be dancing, there'll be victory in the house of the Lord today. But there's a proviso. Are we willing? Are we willing to know the anointing of the Holy Spirit today? We welcome him into our hearts and lives afresh today. That there might be singing, there might be dancing, there might be victory in this house today. You know, I can remember many a prayer meeting when I'd drive home from work at the from north of Basingstoke, and I'd be absolutely shattered, and I'd come into a prayer meeting and I'd go out refreshed. What was it? It was the presence of the Lord. What was it? Focusing on him. What was it? Knowing his presence. The Lord refreshes us. He strengthens us. He encourages us. We sing, "No, never alone. No, never alone. You promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. In my need, Jesus found me, put his strong arms around me, and brought me safe home into the shelter of his fold." You know, we're the one that the shepherd went to seek and to save and bring home on his shoulders rejoicing. See, this is the one that was lost and he's found. Jesus walks with us, alongside us, before us, behind us, and within us. Such is his amazing love and grace, which fully encompasses us and infills us. Jesus said, that I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And I don't believe he was just talking about heaven. He's talking about today, right now, where we are. Where I am, you might be also. God is near. His Spirit is in us and with us because he's our kinsman redeemer. He's our closest relative, our closest brother, our nearest friend, our dearest friend. So let's turn and seek his face this morning and call upon him whilst he is near, that we might be found of him, that his grace and his mercy might overwhelm us again. His love may be our strength in a time of weariness, our encouragement and our tower in a time of war. Amen. Precious Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you that we're such a privileged people. I pray that more and more, day by day, we might know that nearness of Jesus. We might not see you, but we know you. I pray, whisper in our ear, Lord. Anoint us afresh with your Holy Spirit and with power, that we may not go off in our own direction, but we may, day by day, seek to follow you and know that nearness of Jesus, the one who loves us, the one who died for us, the one who rose victorious. Our strength, our peace, our joy, the full orb ministry of the Lord Jesus is ours. Father, make us willing, I pray, that we may know the joy of our salvation. Amen. Amen.